This is Atlantic Spotlight. England calls America, and America returns the call on your Atlantic Spotlight. The British Broadcasting Corporation and the National Broadcasting Company combine their facilities to present a half hour of high-spot entertainment. Leslie Mitchell, appearing through the courtesy of British Movietone News, is standing by to turn on the London end of the spotlight.
Well, this is Ben Brower in New York calling Leslie Mitchell in London. Hello, London. This is Ben Grauer in New York calling Leslie Mitchell on the Atlantic Spotlight. As we were rolling along in our introductory announcement, something seems to have disturbed the international communication circuits. Hello, London. Hello, Leslie. Understand you've got a nice show for us, so we're anxious to hear from you and from it. This is New York again. Hello, Leslie. Hello, Leslie Mitchell. There you are. Hello, Leslie.
Hello, Ben.
Well, there you are. We had to fight our way through 3,000 miles of static for a second.
I've talked an awful lot. I wonder how the show's going.
What's cooking with you on the other side there, Leslie? What's doing for today?
Well, Ben, this week I'm in London stage door canteen, just by way of a change.
Could be a very exciting change for all I've heard.
Yes, you heard correctly, Ben. It's a fine place, and the people of the London theatre should be proud of it. It's a huge success with the forces, needless to say. In fact, it's jammed full of them now, and they're waiting for the kind of all-star show that the canteen puts on for them every week. Well, every night, in fact. And they're going to get it, Ben, because I'm going to ask someone else to tell you about it right now.
Well, who could that be, Leslie?
Well, one of the founders of the canteen and the chairman of the entertainment committee, who happens also to be one of the most popular American stars we've ever had in the London theater.
Leslie sounds to me like Dorothy Dixon.
Okay, now, you know too much, Ben. Of course it's Dorothy Dixon. And here she is.
Well, hello, Ben.
Well, Dorothy, welcome to Atlantic Spotlight. Seems to be the only way we can bring you back to America is by radio.
Thank you, Ben. I'll be over for a visit after the war.
Well,
but let's not talk about me and my plans. I've got too much to tell you about our London stage door canteen. Like your famous one in New York and all the other clubs everywhere, such as the Alexander Club in Rome, the Royal Palace in Naples, and the Navy Club in Alexandria, it's what we want to give the forces, and especially those who are far away from home.
I hear that the people of the London Theater have made a tremendous success.
Well, the answer to that, Ben, is that nearly 4,000 boys and girls of the Allied forces visit us every day. And at 9 o'clock in the evening, when our theaters are over, we give a show for them. And they're the most interesting audience to watch you ever saw. Boys back from every theater of war and every front. I've talked to British Bill just back from Arnhem and American Joe on his way home from a Japanese concentration camp and watched them talking to each other. It's wonderful to hear them laugh and to see them dance. And to know that our canteen is doing what it set out to do. And now let's get on with the show. After all, that's what a lot of boys and girls have come here for.
Who's in the show today?
Some great favorites in Britain. Anne Shelton, Leslie Hutchinson, Tommy Handley and Ronald Franco, Cliff Gordon, and one of our best friends, Beatrice Lilly.
Oh, sounds like a wonderful bill, darling.
Well, come on, Bea, darling, and show the world that Lady Peel isn't another name for striptease. Yes, so from now on you can call me Simon Legree Lilly, because I'm going to crack a whip. Instead of patting the artists on the back like the usual master of ceremonies, I'm going to insult them. It's a little theory of my own. If you say they're terrible and they turn out to be good, you'll think them even better than that. Well, my first victim is a comedian. I hope. His name is Cliff Gordon. Oh, wow. Oh, dear me, that's a pity. They seem to like him here. Which spoils my remarks before I make them. Oh, well, I'll have to admit that he writes delightful stuff and performs it as it ought to be done. Come to think of it, I've asked him to write some material for me, so I can't insult him now. Anyway, I didn't really want to. America's most popular British bantamweight comedian, Cliff Gordon.
Hello, Hello, Beatrice.
Hello, Clifford.
That was a lovely introduction you gave me. It says here.
Where?
Here in the script.
Oh, they gave you one of those, too, did they?
What do you mean, one of those? What do you think it was?
Oh, you never know these days. Might be anything. When anybody puts a piece of paper in my hand, I just sign it. Now, what was I out here for? Oh, yes, to introduce you. Well, I suppose I'd better leave it to you. Fool that I am.
Thank you, V. Now, most of us have, at some time or other, had to go through the ordeal of learning French. At school, it always amused me to hear how children of different dialects of the British Isles managed to infuse their dialect into their French accent. For instance, one time we had to learn a little French poem called Ma mère que j'aime beaucoup, which in very free French sounded approximately something like this. Ma mère que j'aime beaucoup, madame et tout, j'aimerais cette bonne mère, ma vie entière. Elle me soigne tout petit, on me l'a dit, elle balance ma couchette de blanche et propette. Well, that very approximately and in very free French is how it should sound. But listen to how it sounded when a little fellow called Angus MacDonald, who most obviously came from somewhere near Glasgow, got hold of it.
Ma mère que j'aime beaucoup, madame et tout. J'aimerais cette bonne mère, ma fille en hier. Oh, ma soyez, tu as taillé ma relâche, la balance, ma quichette, la blanche, propre, rochain.
But even the French language has been known to take on a bit of Blarney. But I don't know if you will understand the Irish version of it at all, at all, at all.
Ma mère que j'aime beaucoup, madame, et tout. J'aimerais cette bonne mère, ma viande hier. Oh, ma soigne tout petit, au merle de la balance, ma couchette blanche, pour faire.
And not 100 miles, not even 100 yards away from this stage door canteen, it'll be the Cockney version. The Cockney boy who says,
Ma mère, j'aime a fat, I'm a Johnny Chase, eh? Hey? Hey? J'aimerais cette bonne mère, ma viande hier. I'm a swayer to a day of military balance, and my is a blonde side proud fratricide.
And lastly, as this program is going to America, I would like to show you how I think it might sound in the Jack Benny program when recited by your favorite and my favorite, Rochester.
My mec, you say my vocal, Matt, don't you? Say my race, I'm a bone man, my V, oh yeah. Elmer Swain, two with three, a mother, three, a balance, a match, you shall have long say, pro better. Yes, man!
Well, thank you, Cliff Gordon. We'll write to you as soon as we've learned how to write. Now, I don't know whether our American listeners have ever heard of Hutch. Well, you can see that the name is the winner over here. Hutch, Leslie Hutchison, to the income tax collectors, is a West Indian who has been one of our most popular broadcasting and recording stars for 15 years. His singing and piano playing has a swooning long before you Americans ever invented Frank Sinatra. Copycats. Well, prepare to join me in a delicious swoon, because here's Hutch with a couple of songs.
The first few days that I'm together with you, I'll say to myself, can it really be true? Oh, what exciting things we will do the first few days. We'll have our friends and our relations to see, and people will ring up and drop in to tea. But when at last they leave you to me, the first few days, we'll talk until the dawn's early light. And though I've said I'll love you tonight, I'll say it at breakfast all over again. The old dear landmarks that my heart's dreaming of, the last. on the river, in the town of above. Let's rediscover all that we love together in the first few days. And when years have passed by, how sweet we recall with a sigh those heavenly first should happen to you. Hide your heart from sight. Lock your dreams at night. It could happen to you. Someone drops a sigh when down you tumble. Keep your eye on spring. Run when church bells ring. It could happen to you. Happen to you. Oh.
After swooning, don't you?
Thank you, Hutch, for one of the best swoons I've had this year. And now, before we go a step further, I want our listeners, both here and overseas, to meet a great lady of the American theater who has been the guiding spirit of New York Stage Door Canteen. London playgoers remember her with affection and admiration. Her name, if you haven't guessed it already, is Jane Cowell. Are you there, Jane?
Yes, please.
Over in New York?
Yes, please. And not only delighted to be speaking to you again, and to London, which was so kind to me, and which I love so very much, but very eager to extend greetings to your stage door canteen from ours. When the war broke out in Europe, the theater people of New York joined together and called themselves the American Theater Wing of the British War Relief. This American branch was headed by Rachel Crothers, distinguished American playwright. When Pearl Harbor was attacked so suddenly, we incorporated as a purely American organization because we knew we were in it for good. And we called ourselves the American Theater Wing War Service Incorporated. I was one of the charter members. We had a big meeting at which most of the theater people came and started a campaign for money. How the stage door canteen was evolved, I'll never tell you. It was spontaneous combustion. Someone, it might even have been I, mentioned the word canteen, and we were launched. Miss Crothers appointed me with Selina Royal as co-chairman of the as-yet-unborn canteen, and we went to work. We wanted a place that the servicemen of the United States and of Britain and all allied countries could call their own with the best entertainment America could provide. And, well, you know the rest. It was a credit to the theater people, and I hope to the Army and Navy and Air Force as well. This original canteen, into which went so much of our hearts, my heart, I know, never stopped yearning over it until it was completed, was the forerunner of a lot of similar canteens in Washington, Philadelphia, Cleveland, Hollywood, San Francisco, Newark, and so many cities. And now, to those of us who, like me, know London so well and have acted in the theater there, comes the joy of realizing that our own idea has spread even into the precincts of John Bull himself. There's a stage door canteen in London. There's nothing worse than not being able to be there to see it for me, since I know so many of the workers who have made it possible. And if anyone ever had the desire to be somewhere else than here, on your opening night there, it was I. Dorothy Dixon, will you remember me to everybody who's labored so faithfully to bring this about? And let me say that we envy you who are so close to the magnificent front, a stone's throw away from your stout cloak cliffs of Dover, and we cheer your courage and your gallantry.
Thank you, Jane Cowell. And here's our best wishes for the continued success of New York Stage Door Canteen. I'll be dropping in to see you there very shortly.
Well, we would be more than glad to welcome you, Bee, and we'll put you right to work.
Oh, why not? It's all for the same good cause. But now I must put two comedians to work. They're very famous ones over here, and many of you in America know them, too. They work separately as Ronald Franco and Tommy Handley. Before the war, they used to team up under the names of Murgatroyd and Winterbottom. And even though they reached stardom separately, they often return occasionally to a spot of old teamwork, like murderers going back to the scene of the crime. Well, I'm glad to say that this is one of those occasions. So here are Ronald Franco and Tommy Handley as Murgatroyd and Winterbottom.
There you are, Mr. Winterbottom.
I've been hunting for you everywhere.
We've got to sing before we patter.
I don't see why it doesn't matter if we do or don't.
Well, I shall sing.
My word.
But listen, Murgatroyd, old fruity. To listeners all, we've got our duty. A song must start our show.
Mr. Winterbottom? No.
Well, here's a song to introduce us. If our gags are old excuses. Anyway, please don't abuse us. All the BBC won't use us, then we'll stop.
Some folks think our jokes just funny. Others' eyes with tears get runny. Everybody thinks it's funny. Anybody pays us money for the job. Sing tra-la-la.
Tra-la-la.
Folk singers always do.
Sing hey.
Sing hey.
Hey, ho, you! Well, Mr. Murgatroyd, I suppose you're looking forward to the armistice?
Yes, and the navistice.
Well, it's high time.
What is?
Big Ben, that's high enough. Hasn't it ever struck you?
Yes, twice.
When?
2 o'clock.
Oh, dear, yeah.
What will you do when the dove of peace arrives?
Shake hands with Olive Branch. She's a nice girl.
I prefer her sisters.
Sisters? I didn't know she had any.
Good heavens, there are branches all over the world.
All over the world? Can't be the same family.
Why?
Well, their names are Legion.
Oh, yes, there they are. Well, when it comes, I hope it'll be a permanent peace.
Like my wife's cake.
I don't get it.
No, that's the point. I always do.
Last time there was the League of Hallucinations. I hope this time it's not going to be a Dumbarton hoax. If that's not putting the cart before the horse.
Well, that's better than putting the horse before the cartel. You know, women's services will have to be in the Army of Occupation too, Bernard.
Sure. Arms and the man.
Ah, that's the Army of Osculation.
I beg your pardon?
I said that's the Army of Osculation. By the way, have you ever realized the difference between the American women in the services and ours?
Yes, their uniforms.
Quite right, yes.
Where would they be without their uniforms?
Yes. Of course, they've got drive, these American women.
That's a left-handed compliment.
Oh.
Have you ever motored in the U.S.?
Hey?
I said, have you ever motored in the U.S.?
Oh.
Hi.
Oh. No, I've never been to Ohio, but... I once smuggled a charming dame into Illinois.
Ah, Chicago.
She had Cicero of lovely teeth.
Did they Chattanooga?
I don't know.
It must be difficult to learn to drive on the wrong side of the road.
That's right.
For us, but not for them.
No, for us, the left is right.
Then let's talk politics.
Right-o. Well, motoring will be very different after the war.
In what way?
Well, you'll be able to take your car out.
I've still got mine. Do you remember it? It has five wheels.
Five wheels?
Yes, one strapped on the back.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a waste of wheels. How many cylinders is your car?
I don't know. I've been far too busy to count. By the way, what did you run your car on?
On the road, usually.
Oh, I see, yeah.
What do you run yours on?
Credit. Well, how many people could you seat in your car?
Four comfortably, five familiarly. Did you change gear often?
No, I kept the same clothes on all the time. Sif, what did you do to a gallon of petrol?
Put some in my lighter and clean my flannels with the rest.
Oh.
I opened the bonnet
of my car the other day.
Yes, yeah. What did you find?
Oh, I found the works, the manager, a picture of Lillian Gish and Miss Snowshoes. Ah, happy days. Well, maybe next year we should be able to go to Switzerland again, Murgatroyd.
Do you really think you'll be going next winter, Bottom?
Well, I may dilly-dally in a chalet by the valley. How about you?
Yes, I'm counting on shouting by the fountain on the mountain.
Oh. Well, why not take your tricycle and bring me back an icicle?
Enough.
By the way, do you like skating?
I prefer whiting.
Oh.
Can you cut any figures on the ice?
Well, yes, my own, very often. Do you like a bobsleigh?
I prefer a two-bob one, more comfortable.
Yes, they are.
Tell me, did you ever do any skiing?
Well, I did the big jump over the bottomless pit.
Was it?
Yes, and I wish I had been too. Now, about the armistice.
And navistice.
We've done that.
Oh, yes, sir.
Now, what's going to happen afterwards?
Well, ultimately, the tools of war should be turned into the tools of peace.
And battleships into canoes.
And shells.
Yes, what about shells?
Shells should be wound around the eggs again.
And relayed to Frank Sinatra. Think of the women in the world.
I do.
They look to their government with pleading eyes.
What eyes?
Pleading eyes.
Oh, I see. Bloodshot eyes.
And what do they demand?
Alley money.
Who's he?
Oh, some Turkish admiral. Well, it's up to you and me.
And the man next door?
Well, he can play if he wants to. Yes, it's up to you and me.
And him?
Yes, and him. Yes. To see that our women are clothed and fed.
Well, as long as they're fed.
And what should we do with our children?
Turn them into soldiers.
No.
Sailors.
No.
What then?
Turn them over and smack them.
With an open handistice.
And a strong armistice.
I'd a farm out in Tipperary.
I'd a rake and I'd a hoe.
Oh, Winterbottom, you sing grandly, and I've heard you sing as Tommy Handley.
Ronald Franco, ain't you swell?
I'm on next week as well.
Indeed to goodness, Mr. McHugh, I can't think why on earth they book you.
Are they wise, the BBC?
Yes, they're always using me.
Ah, the double turns, they've got them.
No 1 ounce ever shot them.
Though they're copy brooks, they blot them.
Murgatroyd.
And Winterbottom.
Never would.
Though nothing could be so absurd as us agree if you have heard us.
There are speed postpones our murders. Nobody has time to murder us.
If they could.
Sing ta-la-la, oh ta-la-la, folk singers always do. Sing hey, sing hey, sing hey, hi ho you. Sing hey, sing hey, sing hey, hi ho you.
Bang.
Dudley and Ronnie Franco. That was as stimulating as a slap on the bare back with a wet electric eel. Come and play for us again soon. After all, electric eels are hard to catch these days. Now I'm going to introduce you to one of the most popular singers of popular songs we've ever had in Britain. She has a style of her own and a smile that can counteract our famous climate on its worst day. Her name is Anne Shelton. I don't need to say any more. The troops have said it for me. Come on, Anne.
That was wonderful. Are you still there, Ben Grauer?
It was wonderful, and I am, Bea, and eager to say thank you to London Stage Door Canteen for a really grand show.
Oh, just part of our canteen service, Ben. Uh-huh. Well, au revoir, listeners. I leave part of my heart here when I go to America. In fact, you may even hear me soon talking to myself there in Atlantic Spotlight.
But, no secrets, please.
I'm sorry, Leslie. Doc Dixon, come here and say goodbye to America.
Yes, Bea. Well, goodbye, Ben. We have enjoyed giving you a show from the Stage Door Canteen.
Dorothy and Bea and everyone, we only hope you'll give us another some Saturday soon. And now, as we can't stop the clock, I'm afraid I will have to say, this is Ben Grauer signing off from New York.
And this is Leslie Mitchell in London saying goodbye for this week's Atlantic Spotlight.
Atlantic Spotlight is a joint presentation of NBC and the British Broadcasting Corporation, written by Jim Dierenforth in London and Peter Harkins in New York. Next Saturday, we shall present Beatrice Lilly, Peggy Mann, and others. The Spotlight is produced in London by Tom Ronald and in New York by Ross Villian. This is the National Broadcasting Company.